If you've spent time on social media lately, you've probably been exposed to some questionable wellness content, and it's very easy to dismiss those that follow this content as being misinformed or gullible, but new research is suggesting that personality traits might actually explain a lot of it and why educated and well-intentioned people fall into these fringe medical advice practices. I have Dr. Sam Cornell, a PhD candidate in public health and community medicine, here to tell us more about it from the University of Western Sydney School of Population Health. Welcome, Sam.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Very well.
So what are some of the personality traits that cause people to become interested in wellness content on social media?
So psychologists have shown that many aspects of human personality can be described by five underlying dimensions. And we all have varying levels of these. So these big five traits, we call them openness, agreeableness, conscientiousness, extroversion, and neuroticism. And so we were looking at openness and agreeableness in particular to see if these have sort of any links between the way people engage with health information. And it turns out that people high in openness who are just naturally curious, imaginative, and adventurous, they generally question tradition and are attracted to novelty and unconventional ideas. People like that can be more predisposed to seeking out alternative methods of healthcare, for instance. And then we've got highly agreeable people who tend to be more trusting and cooperative and empathetic. They're quite receptive to emotional messages, and especially when those messages come from people that they trust or in the social circles. And so that could also be a driver for people who get into certain communities on social media, like wellness communities, and they tend to agree with the overarching community ideal. And then that can sort of just move further and further in a certain direction, depending on almost like what the leader is saying at any given moment about these trends.
So you mentioned just now, and also in your conversation article, that it's very easy to go down this rabbit hole. What is the pathway from finding relatively innocuous trends to then getting into extreme practices?
Yeah, I guess it's these sorts of gateway effects where if you've got a trusted influencer that, you know, first off, you're following them because they'll tell you about ice baths or how to sleep better, you know, or maybe it's yoga, for instance. And then if that influencer themselves starts to, you know, go more extreme in their thinking or their health journey, if you will, then people that are high in agreeableness and openness, you know, maybe more likely to follow along with that because they've been exposed to these sorts of fringe wellness narratives. And, we saw it a lot during COVID where people, and there was many reasons for this. Obviously, people were in lockdown and people were sort of isolated from their wider community as well. It was easier to just sort of buckle down in your little niche circles, and especially on social media where clearly, you know, there's an algorithmic element too, and it pushes more extreme content. So one thing leads to another, and you start off with one thing and, you know, it might just be quite, as you said, innocuous, some yoga, for instance, and then the next thing, you're an anti-vaxxer.
So what changes, or how can public health messages adapt to this more influencer-heavy realm of health and wellness for people who have, say, already fallen down the rabbit hole, maybe from COVID times, or people who are on the brink of doing so?
Yeah, really complicated. And, you know, as we saw during COVID, there was a lot of talk of health literacy, which I do think is really important, you know, giving people the information, how to assess health information and giving people knowledge. But I think we've maybe leaned a little bit too heavily on that. And we've considered, you know, we've thought that people like knowledge a little bit too much. And actually, I think a lot of it could come down to personality influence and how people respond to claims about health information. So it could be effective if we could, you know, formulate public health campaigns that actually consider these traits. And especially on social media, where, I mean, Facebook has been doing that with people for a long time. Like there were whole scandals about that, actually, knowing people's personality and what they would kind of click. So if there was a way to combine those things, we might be able to craft some messages that resonate with people, you know, of certain personality types a lot more than we currently are doing. But it's a tricky one to formulate.
That sounds like a very interesting way. So instead of an information dump, more targeted messages.
Yeah,
Yeah. And one last question for you. What advice would you give to listeners if they have a loved one or a friend who's getting involved in wellness-related content on social media and they have concerns for them?
I think that, first of all, it's about being completely non-judgmental, because as soon as you seem judgmental, you know, you really shut someone down and they won't want to talk to you further about it anyway. And I think just listening and trying to understand someone's perspective is always the way to start when you think someone is engaging with that kind of content, and then reflecting back to them what they're telling you. Because, you know, when you speak to someone, if you're really listening and reflect back what they're saying, that also gets them to consider more deeply what they're saying themselves. So it's a question of getting people to basically critically appraise information more, which is really difficult. But first of all, starting with those, I would say, and then trying to speak to trusted other people. So there'll be people in their lives that they actually value their opinions highly. And if those people, you know, are able to convey more accurate information, then that would be a good start, I think.
Thank you so much, Sam.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure having you on the show today.